I don't know if you felt the same thing I felt. I have this week. Our emphasis all the month of December is on greater giving. Greater giving. As you remember, of course, we've had a theme throughout all the whole year. And as I was praying and trying to get direction from the Lord for this year, when it came to the month of December, so many things. But God burdened my heart about greater giving. And I know that sometime when you mention the word giving, it's kind of like missions. People run and hide in a hole somewhere until it's over with and then they come back. I hope you don't do that. We've got so many things planned tonight at 5 o'clock. Come back for the Ladies' Circle Christmas Supper. It'll be in the Fellowship Hall. And you'll bring some covered dish as well, if you will. And it's at 5 o'clock, and it'll be a wonderful time. Have good singing, good fellowship. And we'll just have a great time together there, and you'll get home a little earlier tonight, come at 5, and then we'll have a Christmas program on through the year and several things going on through this Christmas season. It's going to be a really good time. I hope you don't miss any services. As I've prepared to share these truths with you, some of them I have shared before in days gone by, but it was very fresh in my mind and heart. And the more I've thought and prayed and studied and looked at it, how condemned I was or convicted I was in my own life. And I pray God will speak to you. I know the Lord doesn't condemn us where there's no condemnation, but sometimes he does convict us and cause us to reevaluate ourselves. There's times that we ought to look at what we've done. Sometime when I think about the young missionary who was here last Sunday and the 11 different missions that they've already started in the 4 years that he's been there and how God's blessed his soul's been saved, I think about how little I do for the Lord and my efforts for him. And I thank God that God's a God of grace and mercy. Amen. He does love us. Thank God for that wonderful singing. This morning, Cabot and Juanita and Brad and the choir, the children's, everything. I love the music around Christmas time. I want you to open your Bible, please, to two passages of Scripture this morning as we think about greater giving. The book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Matter of fact, if you find Matthew in your New Testament, go back a few pages, you'll find the book of Malachi. And it's going to be real easy for you because we're going to look at Malachi, and then I'm going to go to the book of Matthew. And so if you'll follow with me this morning in the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, God's speaking through his prophet to his people. I want you to look at chapter 1 and verse 6. Greater giving, greater giving. And I want to preach to you this morning on giving Jesus your best. Notice in Malachi chapter 1 verse 6, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where's my honor? And if I be a master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted it? And that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. If ye offer the blind for sacrifice, are you not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us, that this hath been done by your means, if he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts. Drop down and look at verse 13. Ye say, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which is torn and lame and sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this at your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and vowed and sacrificed unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. He's rebuking the people, and he identifies the priest. They offer the offerings that are brought by the people. And he said, you're bringing molded bread, you're bringing lame and sick sacrifices, animals that have been torn or injured somehow or another, and you have in your flock a suitable offering, a male that's vowed, one that you've dedicated to God, and you're giving God second best. What an awful thing to think about. And he illustrates it this way. He said, why don't you try to give that gift to your governor? Why don't you go present him with some molded bread? Or take him a sick animal and say, I want you to have this one. How would he react? But he said, I'm God. I'm a holy God. And you offer me second best. Now go over to the book of Matthew. And let's read the story of the wise men. In chapter number 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where's he that's born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense and myrrh. I leave off the reading there, but will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And Lord, what a wonderful time of the year. When we remember the fact that Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, came to be a sacrifice for sin. Lord, what a great gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would help us, our Father, first of all, to receive that gift. Our Father, we realize that that gift has to be received. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. And Father, I pray that, Lord, this morning, Lord, we ask God your blessing on people in the auditorium and in the media audience. And Lord, on the young man there in Myrtle Beach, I pray this morning, our Father, he'll find the what he's been searching for all of his life. I pray, our Father, for those who listen to me now, that God, they'll too find the joy of Christmas. The Lord Jesus Christ came to give his life a ransom, to suffer and bleed and die. And I pray, our Father, they accept God's unspeakable gift, inexpressible joy. Lord, I pray that they'd accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and be saved. I pray, God, that God's people, our Father, would be reminded once again that, our Father, you loved us, and that, Lord, the challenge is to us now to give you our best. Lord, I pray you'd forgive me. Our Father, Lord, not always giving you my best. I pray, God, you'd help me. I want to confess before you this morning, Father, there's no good thing in me. And God, apart from the work of the Holy Ghost of God in me and through me this morning, nothing of eternal consequence to take place. And I pray, God, that, Lord, you speak. God, now give me your anointing. Remove far from me anything that would hinder the free course of the Word of God and, Lord, the liberty of the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray you'd speak to your people and to those who may not know you this morning. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here's a wonderful contrast. Here are people who traveled a great distance to come to where Jesus had come into the world in Bethlehem. And the Bible said that they opened their treasures and they gave to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And what a blessing that is. And then also we go back in the Old Testament, we see these people who've been highly favored of God. I mean, God delivered them out of bondage of Egypt, performed miracle after miracle in their deliverance. And then as they wandered in the wilderness, he rained down manna from heaven. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. And he sustained them and kept them all that time. And then he brought them into the promised land. The walls of Jericho fell down. The river was open. They went over safely through Jordan into the promised land. And then they defeated all of their enemies except the ones that they chose not to defeat. But God delivered them, and God gave them that land flowing with milk and honey. And yet they turned back on God. He warned them in Deuteronomy. He said, when you come into the land, you'll have to be careful. He said, because there come a time that you'll just get satisfied. You'll become fat and flourishing, and you'll think everything's wonderful. And then you'll forget that I did that. And you'll say, my hand have gotten me this. And they'll begin to take credit for all the blessing that God has showered upon them. In fact, they did. And not only did they not recognize God and appreciate what God had done for them, but they went through a religious form. Instead of offering God their best, they offered stale bread and they offered all those things. And we look at that, and when you read that and see it in black and white on the page, you wonder, how in the world could they do that? But yet the truth of the matter is God's been good to us. He gave us his best too. He gave us his best in creation. I love what God's created, and God's creation, I love it from the coast to the mountains and all across this great nation that God's allowed me to see. And in other countries where I've been, I see the beauty of God. It's hard for me to believe sometime when I see out west, and it's like turning a page. Every mile you go, every corner you turn, there's something amazing to see. When I see the beauty of our coast in North Carolina and all the way up to Maine and all the way down to Florida, it's hard for me to believe that this is under the curse. When you stand here in Johnson County and see the beautiful sunsets we've been experiencing here lately, it's hard for me to believe that this is under the curse of God. Even when Adam sinned and God cursed the ground for Adam's sake, it's a beautiful place to live. God has given us, in creation, he gave us his best. I mean, of all the scientific advancements and all the studying of the stars and planets, everywhere we've ever been, everything where we've ever studied, they've never found a place anywhere in this universe like the Earth. Of all the billions of planets, billions of stars, there's not an environment that could host us. There's not a place where we could have green, fertile valleys or beautiful mountains or the rainfall or the change of the seasons. There's nowhere in all of this vast universe that we've been able to discover yet that would compare to what you're living on today, and God gave it to you. Whether you're saved or not, God makes it rain on the just and the unjust. God gave us his best in creation, but God gave his best at Calvary. Somebody said he searched through heaven. He didn't have to search, because he knew that there was only one person that could redeem fallen man. That was his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gave his best at Calvary. God gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer, bleed, and die for me and for you. And the Bible said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. You think about it. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Everybody you've ever known, every wicked person you've ever heard about, Jesus died for them. He paid the sin debt for them for the whole world. And he said, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew what we were. He knew our heart. And yet Christ died for us. He gave his best at Calvary. He gave his best for me and you, the Lord Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. He who never disobeyed the Father became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He gave his best at Calvary. He gave his best in conversion, but he also gave his best in our conversion when he saved us. Oh, listen, he gave us the means of salvation the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the method of salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. You think about that. He made it where anybody, man, woman, boy, girl, can be saved. You don't have to be white. You don't have to be any other color. You don't have to be educated or uneducated. You don't have to be young or old. He did it for everybody. And he made the method of it so simple. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's God's grace that allows us to believe. And he gave his best at salvation, not only in the method, but all, listen, in the accomplishment of it. The Bible said the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Every sin. He gave his best. I'm glad he didn't say, we're going to try this one, and if that doesn't work, we'll try this, and then we'll try that. I hear so many people who are going through all kind of medical problems, and the doctors will try this medication, and then they'll try that medication, and they're doing all these things. But he gave his best. He gave his best that's sufficient. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. His blood can wash away every sin of every individual in the sound of my voice. He gave his best. It's simply by faith, by grace, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is a complete and full salvation. Thank God for that. I'm glad it is a forever salvation. He didn't save you part-time. He didn't save you conditionally. He didn't put you on probation for some period of time, but he said, now are you the sons of God. When you get saved by the grace of God, your sins are gone forever and forever. And I remind you, my dear friend, that when he died on the cross, he paid for your sin from the time that you committed sin until your death, before and after you get saved. He's already paid the price of that. Now, fellowship is affected by disobedience and our sin, but not our salvation if we get saved. It is forever and forever. Thank God for that. He saved us forever, gave his best for us. In the matter of giving, I am obligated, and you are obligated, not by command, although he deserves our best, he expects our best, but by our compassion. He loved us, therefore we love him, and we give our best because we love him. But I'm afraid I don't give him my best sometime. I'm afraid some of us don't. We don't give him our best. You see these people in the Old Testament brought sick lambs, wounded lambs, molded bread. They give in second best. Now, God wants you to give. He stood by the collections one day, and there's a widow woman who came by, and she gave 2 mites. That's about like 2 pennies in our economy today. But he said she'd given more than anybody else because she gave all that she had. And so he's not saying that they didn't give their best. They didn't give their best. He said, in your flock, you've got a good baby. You've got better. You've got better. And I've got better to give to the Lord. But we offer him. You say, Brother Billy, what do we offer him? We offer him stale prayers. We pray repetitiously. We say the same things over and over again. It doesn't move us. It doesn't affect us. When we thank him for our food, and I'm as guilty as you are, and I thought about this in the last few days especially. When we bow to pray and ask God for our food, we've got a little pat thing we just go through real quick. Sometimes we're thankful. Sometimes we think about it. But most of the time, it's just a mechanical thing. We don't thank him for our bread. I remember reading several years ago, this is back during the wartime in Europe, and they were dealing not only with the victims of the war so far as the soldiers and everything, but with the children in Europe. And the Allied forces were trying to help those children. Some of them had been wounded. Some of them, their moms and dads had been killed. And they were trying to help them. And they had to put them in places like orphanages and other places to help them. And they were having a hard time with them. And a lot of them couldn't sleep at night. They'd live for weeks out in the street and other places. And somebody went through and they were looking at them, trying to figure out what they could do to help the kids. And just one of the workers said, let's give them a piece of bread. And they said, what do you mean? He said, watch them when they eat. They've not eaten in weeks. And he said, when they eat, they eat like animals. They're starving to death. And when they eat and they go to bed, he said, they're restless because for so many nights they've gone to bed, and when they wake up the next morning, they have nothing to eat. And they simply went through the orphanage, and at night they gave every child a loaf of bread. And for the first time in weeks, every one of those children slept soundly because they knew that in the morning they'd have bread. My dear friend, we are not thankful for bread. We're not thankful for God's blessing on us. We offer Him stale prayers. We offer Him, my dear friend, rush Bible reading. This book ought to be a wonderful thing, ought to be a blessed book to bathe ourselves in and enjoy the thing. And we, out of obligation, read a verse or read a chapter or whatever, and we read it with one eye on the clock. We offer Him rush Bible reading. We don't wait long enough for God to answer. We don't wait long enough for God to speak to us. We're rushed. We got things to do. And even while we're reading, our minds are running 100 miles an hour about the responsibilities of the day. Quite often, churches give them second-rate buildings. I go around a lot, and I don't ever say anything direct, derogatory about our church or our church family. If you ever go hear me preach, not just because you're there, you can take any recording you want to. I've been places where preachers are preaching off somewhere, and they talk about their sorry church members, and they won't do this, don't do that, or the other. We've been so blessed. But I can go in a building sometime, and I can look and tell you if those people love God or not, if the building's clean and well-kept. Doesn't have to be a big fancy building like we've got, but if you come up on the grounds and you see it's well-kept and you see the building's clean and you see that there's some interest, people have taken an interest in God's house, my dear friend, but sometimes people give Him second-rate buildings. We give Him token effort. We're just going to show just a little bit of effort, just to say, to soothe our own conscience, say we did something for God. We give Him scratched and damaged and dented merchandise. We give Him weary minds. We give Him leftover time. We give Him worn out bodies. We give Him unprepared service. I've shared this with you before, but it comes to my mind again. I'm not picking on anybody or any church, but I was in a church one time, and when I walked in the back, I could tell things just wasn't just right around there. It was just kind of ill-kept. You could just tell it. As I walked into the foyer, there were some plastic flowers sitting there, and there was a glass in the door, and the sun shone right on those flowers. And what was supposed to be red roses now were a dull pink looking, and the leaves that were supposed to be brilliant green were just almost white. They'd been bleached in the sun. The plastic flowers there in the foyer had faded because of that. People walked in and out services Sunday morning, Sunday night, never paid any attention to it. But when I walked in, I saw it. And then right beside there was a little jar, a little small jar, and it said, "Pennies for Jesus." And it just got in my heart. Plastic flowers and pennies for Jesus. I think He deserves better than that. I thank the Lord for this church and for how you honor God by honoring and taking care of this building. I thank the Lord for your compassion. But we cannot build a church on spare time and loose change. You got to give Him your best. Give Him your best. You say, "Brother Billy, what happens?" When I read that passage of Scripture, he said, if I'm a father, where's my honor? We don't honor the Lord. If we don't give God our best, it insults His character. I mean, He gave His best for us, and we're going to, and my wife will tell you, I'm always concerned that I don't leave a big enough tip. I don't know why. I wrecked my daughter, Becky, who served as a waitress for a good long time while she was in college. She drilled me so many times about taking care of the waitress. I'm always concerned. I want to make sure I give enough to the waitress. But how many times do we wonder if we've ever given Jesus enough? I mean, we insult Him. We want to honor people, but we insult the Lord because we give Him second best. It injures the work of God because God won't give Him His best. Churches can't do something sometime because I was listening to the radio the other day, and I know we got a bunch of people do this, and the travel ball industry. I mean, just used to kids get out behind the church and play ball in the field. Play ball, we played ball all of our life. It didn't ever cost mom and daddy hardly nothing that I know of. they said now the average person that's involved in travel ball or on a regular basis will spend somewhere in the neighborhood of $30,000 for those kids in travel ball. I heard on the news that down in Georgia somewhere, they're building a sports complex for $48 million to play ball on Sunday when they ought to be in church and Sunday school. I was in a place of business here, a restaurant, on a Sunday evening. We'd been here, not that I preached till 9 o'clock, but we'd stayed around in fellowship. It was almost 9 o'clock when I went in one of our local restaurants here. And there was a fellow there that I thought I recognized his face. I didn't really know him. He spoke to me and called me preacher. And he said, "How things go at church?" He wasn't a member here. But he said, I said, "Everything went good. We had good services this morning and tonight." He said, "I didn't go to church today." He said, "I've been out on the ball field with our grandson, 9 o'clock at night." He said, "You said all day." I said, "What time did y'all get there?" He said, "We got there at 8:30 this morning. We're just going home." He said, "It's been a long day, had a tournament." 8:30 in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. If you ever had a church service that lasted from 8:30 in the morning to 9 o'clock at night, half of you'd be dead before it was over with. Or you wouldn't come back the next Sunday. Some of you, if I preach to 12, you get up about 9:45, start leaving anyhow. What am I trying to say? I'm just trying to say this. We dishonor God. We don't give Him our best. We don't honor God. Thousands and thousands of dollars spent on everything in the world. And God's people, God's building, the missionaries and preachers. These missionaries come by trying to raise money, trying to get enough to live, to preach the gospel. And yet, sports figures make $40 million a year for nothing. I mean, it's going to be over. You won't remember 2 years from now who won the Super Bowl. And millions of dollars are spent on that, and God's work suffers because God's people have the priorities out of shape. They don't honor God with their substance. It injures the work of God. I'll tell you something else. When we don't put God first and we don't honor God, we don't give Him our best, it informs the public that we really are unconcerned. We really don't care. And then it excites Satan. If he can get people to be halfway, don't give things like they ought to, don't obey God, don't give God time, don't spend time in prayer, don't read the Bible. Boy, it just tickles him to death. He knows that the answers of prayer will not come. He knows the power from studying the Word of God will not come. He knows that souls will not be saved. And then, certainly, it inhibits the growth of the believer. Just quickly, I looked at this story of the wise men when they come to find Jesus. And it says this, they have come, and they did not come unprepared. They sought Him, they found Him, but they had come prepared. The Bible said they opened their treasures and they presented unto Him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Those gifts are significant. I won't go into all that. But I promise you that when they fell and worshiped Him, I'm not sure what and all they brought. I'm not sure how many gifts they had. I don't know if they just brought these three and know it, they would be the gift of a king, or if they brought a variety of things. And it could be that when they opened their sack and they looked, and there were some things made of silver and some things made out of brass and some things made out of whatever, wood. They said, "He's a king. He deserves gold." And the second class stuff, they didn't worry with. They just gave Him the gold. They gave Him their best. You need to give Him your best in regard to your talent. God, I was glad to see the choir this morning. Had a good number in the choir. Some of you in the choir hadn't been in the choir in a while. God gave you a voice to sing. You ought to use it for God. You ought to use it for the Lord. No reason that Brad has to get up here and beg people to get in the choir. That choir ought to be full every Sunday. We got a lot of chairs up there. You say, "Brother Billy, I can't sing. I can't read music." Whatever. You get up there and sing. I mean, God will use you. God will bless you. You just honor God. You could get in the choir. Remind the choir, you're on the internet. Be sure to smile when you're singing. Amen. And they see you on the back row too, by the way. You think you hid back there, but people can see you on the back row. You ought to give your talents to the Lord. Whatever they are, there are things that you can do And I thank the Lord that around here, like if we're doing the construction on the different dramas, so many of you who have those gifts, build, put up those things. Thank the Lord for that. But I'm just saying we've got a good number of people who do that. But if every person who could do building would be a part, if every person who would sing would sing, if and all the other ministers around here, give him, you ought to give him your best in regard to your talent. Give him the best in regard to your time. To your time. How much time do you give to the Lord in prayer, Bible reading, and priorities a thing? I mean, serving God, these are busy days. It really is. You ought to give him your best into your in your tribute. Praise him. Magnify him. Worship him. Don't halfway worship him. I tell you, I love football. I watch it and I see him get excited and I get excited when I go. And I want to get involved in it. Praise God. I was disappointed when State the other night that, and they didn't do the wave. Did they quit doing that a long time ago? Used to, they'd do the wave. I'd wait for it. I'd always late. But I'd when it come by, I'd get so involved in it, watching it. It goes like that, and I'm standing up. Everybody's going to sit back down. I like to get into it. I want to be a part of it. I want to work. And when you worship God, you ought to give him your best in tribute. Worship him, magnify him, glorify him. They opened their treasures, the Bible said. You ought to give him your best. Give him your best. God, you can't outgive the Lord. I tell young couples and young people, you need to tithe. You ought to give to the Lord. God will honor that. I believe he'll multiply it and return it back to you. Proof, we've done it all of our life. And God's blessed us. We've tried to be faithful in our giving to the Lord. Give him your talent. Give him your time. Give him your treasures. Give him your tribute. My dear friend, worship him and praise him. I just ask you a simple question this morning. There's an old song. I think it was in one of the old Southern Baptist hymnals. Give your best to the master. Give her the strength of your youth. Give him everything you've got. Do you give Jesus your best? Do you have interest and hobbies and things like that that you spend four times as much money on as you do on anything in regard to honoring God? How much time do you spend worshiping the Lord, serving the Lord? Give him your best. Can I tell you, I mentioned in the beginning, I'm preaching the message a little different than I normally would because I'm a feeling it in my own heart. I knelt early yesterday morning. I got a little table there in the kitchen that I get up and pray and study at, and I always go in and kneel at a chair there and pray before I read my Bible. And I knew this had been on my mind. I'd done looked at it. And I knelt down and I got to pray and I got to thank the Lord for his goodness. And I get to thinking, Lord, I hadn't done much for you. And sometimes I get thinking, I got so many things on my mind and so many other things going on. And Lord, I hadn't spent much time in your word, spend time with you. And I ask you to forgive me. I want to give him my best. Amen. I want to serve him and be faithful to him. Give him my very best from here on out. So you're not the only one. And all that I went through the list with you, he's already dealt with me about. I can't undo anything I've done or not done. You can't either. But you can determine from now to Jesus comes to give him your best. Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you. God, I pray you'd help us in this month of giving. Lord, as we think about giving, some of the commercials say it is the season of giving. Our Father, I pray you'd help us to recognize that that's really true year-round for us, that we ought to present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto you. We ought to honor you with our substance. God, we ought to honor you with our time and our talent and our treasures and with our tribute. Lord, I pray you'd help us to worship you and praise you like we ought to. And God, now you know what your people need and you know what they need to do. And our Father, just a reminder. God, I pray, God, you'd stir up their mind of remembrance. God, some people got real slack in their giving. I pray, God, that you'd bless them. And Lord, to help them understand that, God, you don't need their money. You need them. And God, that you'll bless them for their faithfulness. God, I pray, God, that you'd help, Lord, as we think about the music. Lord, you've blessed us so many wonderful, talented people. But yet, Lord, there are many people sitting in this congregation right now that have been in the choir in the past. They're not in there now. I don't know if they don't want to make the commitment. They don't want to give you enough time to practice, or they don't want to, whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but God, I pray they put all that behind them. And God, they make a fresh commitment to love you and serve you. I pray, God, the choir will be filled. I pray, God, that positions of service will be filled. And God, that, Lord, that we'll be yielded to you in every area. And God, I pray that if there's a person here, man or woman, boy or girl in the building or in the media audience not saved, I pray, God, that right now, that, Lord, they'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, while we have our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, I ask you to stand, please. Brother Brad, if God's laid something on your heart to sing, I invite you to sing a verse song for us. Let me encourage you right now. I was reading, thinking about, I didn't incorporate it in the message, I will later. When Paul was commending the church in Macedonia, and he was challenging other churches by them, and he said they don't have much. He said they're just poor people. They give out of their poverty. He said, but they were amazing to me. He said, because they were talking about giving to the poor saints back in Jerusalem. And he said this to them. He said, they did something amazing. He said, they first gave their self to the Lord. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you'll give yourself to the Lord 100%, the rest of it will come. Give your heart, give your mind, love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul. And maybe right here at the beginning of this Christmas season, you want to come, first of all, if you're not saved, and come and give Him your life, give Him your heart, let Him save you. But if you're a Christian, maybe you want to come and just renew your vow to Him and say, God, I want to give You my best. I'm going to give You my best, Lord. Forgive me for not giving my all, not giving my best in 2017. But God, I want to give my best to You. From now to Jesus come. God, help me to do that. I don't know what you need to do this morning. We'll not be long with the invitation, but I want to encourage you. You come right now. Brother Brad sings, you obey the Lord. God, help him to come now. Be obedient to you, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name.